This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Storey. Chapter 11. When Catriona entered the room a few seconds later, Tom was still blinking tears from his stinging eyes. He stood with his back to the fire, staring at the spot where the person had to have been to tap him on the shoulder. If he was thinking logically, he might have shrugged the incident off as a trick of his disturbed mind, but the experience reawakened his sense of unease about the place, the feeling that something lurked in the shadows, waiting. When the girl saw the ashen face and ash tears, she placed the two mugs she was carrying on the mantelpiece and took him gently by the shoulders. "Tom, what is it?" When he didn't answer, she looked around the room, trying to figure out what he was staring at. When Tom suddenly realized that he was not alone, he focused on Catriona and the cottage became the warm, dry shelter it had been before she'd left the room. "The fire. A draught, I think. Sit down," she commanded. He sat, mesmerized by her gently swaying hair, its black sheen reflecting the suddenly healthy fire. "Drink this. You're still weak." He was about to agree with her when the thought of continued lies unsettled him. "I saw something. No, I heard something." Catriona sat on the sofa, her legs tucked under her facing the boy. Tom sat straight, as though his spine had petrified. "It's..." Catriona paused, changing her words mid-flow. "My uncle." Tom realized that she was talking about the man in the next room. "I gave him a half bottle of whiskey. He's blowing his own hurricane." She was humouring him. "No, it wasn't that. It was a woman." He looked at the fire as though expecting to see her face in the flames. "She spoke to me." Catriona felt his forehead and eased him back onto the pillow. He hadn't thought about her reaction. Perhaps she saw his madness. "You're confused," she told him. And of course that was true. But she did not ridicule the intensity of his experience. She respread the blanket, placed a cushion at the other end of the sofa and tucked herself in so that they could talk facing each other without the cricked necks they'd endured earlier. "Was she Scottish?" "Yes." "You didn't see her?" "She was behind me. When I turned, there was no one." They sat drinking from the steaming mugs, steaming still because, despite the direct warmth of the fire in their faces, there was an all-pervading chill to the air. It reminded him of his night freezing and wet by the sea and then in his cave. Catriona put her mug to her lap and looked directly at the boy. "Do you believe in ghosts, Tom?" It was a simple question, but to Tom, a response that required self-knowledge was anything but simple. I don't know. This was literally true. He didn't know what he believed. There has to be something. Catriona seemed as though she would expand on this, but the thought froze on her lips for a second before finding the words she needed. I mean, there has to be something. When we die, our souls, heaven,
hell.
Yes, she said. I suppose that too. This place. He looked around the room, dark shadows writhing in the corners. What's its history? I don't know. She was going to leave it there, but noted Tom's puzzled expression and elaborated. It's not ours. We borrowed it from a friend. We've never been here before. This answered some of his questions, but there was still something missing. He couldn't place it, so he continued to probe blindly. It's a bit desolate for a holiday getaway. She shivered, the boy's mood infusing her with a sense of foreboding. She shook herself and forced a smile. It's not always like this. It's really beautiful. Peaceful-like. Sometimes it's even busy. Weekends is a procession of walkers, children, dogs. He smiled at this thought, the notion that they would not be isolated forever briefly comforting. Everything but door-to-door salesmen, he said. Catriona giggled and a tiny splash of tea escaped her mug. They used to make millstones from enormous boulders close by. There's still a huge rock wheel a half mile along the shore. It weighs tons. All that work. And they just abandoned it. And now they're dead. Tom tried to imagine the people who lived in the cottage then. It looked old enough to have been built hundreds of years ago. But in truth, he had no idea of the timescales involved. The notion gave life to the old place, and he fantasized that it had once been home to children, growing in the folds of the cruel beauty of nature. I had an aunt that swears she could talk to the dead. Tom leaned forward. She was a medium. Good too, apparently. People used to travel miles to see her. She told me I had an aura, the gift. Have you tried it? I've watched, been in the circle, but never actually did it. Tom was about to suggest they have a go now. He was so tense from his experience and overdosed in mystery that the thought of doing nothing was impossible. Before he could ask her, however, she shivered and continued. I don't think I could ever do that. I mean, if they're real, ghosts that is, I don't want them crawling through walls and under my skin. But Tom stopped listening, distracted by a sudden movement beyond the girl's shoulders. A figure drifted through the closed door, a young woman. She looked directly at Tom, her eyes wide, long pleated dress torn from foot to knee, and mud streaked down the left half of her face and neck. She was breathless, looked behind her, around the room, and then at the boy.
Tom! She cried. Get out! Get out now before it's too late!
Chapter 12. Tom jumped to his feet and spoke with a rasping voice that seemed to come from someone else.
Who are you? Tom? What's up, Tom?
Catriona looked from the boy to the closed door and back again. When he didn't move, she got up, grasped and shook his shoulders. Tom stared past the girl at the figure behind her. The apparition opened her mouth and something incoherent drifted through Tom's consciousness. She repeated herself, and this time the boy deciphered the words to something that almost made sense.
Under the hagstone.
As Tom watched with horrified fascination, the sound dried to silence, her lips still moving, Catriona's frenzied shaking lost to the strange vision. Tom was transfixed. The woman lifted her left hand and fingered an object hanging from a string chain around her neck. Tom focused on her elegant fingers as they stroked a simple piece of jewellery. She turned her head to look behind her and returned to gaze at Tom and speak to him in utter silence. Tom's attention was drawn to the chain, to the caressing fingers, to the stone that lay beneath them. And that's what it was. A stone. A pebble, perhaps taken from the beach beyond the door, fashioned into a simple heart. Smooth and simple and beautiful. The apparition looked down at the pendant, and then at the boy. They held each other's gaze for half a beat that stretched to hours. The moment was shattered by an explosion of sound and wood, the door splintering to small pieces that showered the room. The woman cowered and Tom flinched, staggering backwards. The shock of this broke the hypnotic grip, and when Tom drew his eyes back to the woman, she was gone, the door untouched and still closed. Tom wrenched from Catriona's grip. He pushed past her, threw open the door and staggered into the hallway.
"Who are you? What do you want from me?"
But his words echoed in the empty hallway. Running from room to room, from shadow to shadow, he searched in vain for the woman, ignoring the girl at his back trying to calm him, and the nagging certainty that he would find nothing. When Catriona barred the door to the injured man's room, she hissed her frustration.
"Calm down, Tom. If you wake him..."
She nodded behind her.
"He's in so much pain. It's cruel."
But Tom pushed past her again, his livid skin bloodened by the red cast of the fire. The man snored like a cartoon giant, and satisfied that there was no one else lurking within, Tom left and pounded the stairs. Catriona waited in the hallway, listening to the drumming feet, wincing at the slamming doors. When he returned a minute later, it was not to the warmth of the blanket and the fire, but to the wild fury they'd so recently escaped. He ran into the night storm like a madman searching for a stolen moon. Catriona stood in the doorway, flurries of water blasting and retreating from her body.
"Tom! Tom!" she yelled again.
The boy stood, drenched, framed by the light from the hallway, his back to the cottage, looking beyond the shore as if he could see into the featureless pitch of night. His shoulders slumped, the energy of moments before gone. He turned slowly, walked back inside, and Catriona closed the door.
"He'll get you dry," she said quietly. "There's something wrong with me."
Catriona's frustration was tempered now by the helplessness in the boy's voice. He seemed so lost, so vulnerable.
"You've been through hell," she said. "It won't last forever."
Later, when they were dry and back in the same positions on the sofa, the fire blazing healthily, a mug of soup cupped in each of their hands, Catriona broached the subject with analytical calm.
"You should talk about it."
"There's nothing to talk about.
I'm seeing things. I've lost my mind."
Tom actually smiled at this thought. It felt as if that's exactly what he'd done. Misplaced his mind. His memory's gone. Lost.
"Tell me what she looked like."
Tom brought the woman to his thoughts with surprising clarity. As he did, the warmth of the fire seemed to fuse with an inner glow that radiated from the image he held in his mind and spread throughout his body. She was young, perhaps in her late 20s, very beautiful. Her clothing plain, her dress long and loose, giving her an air of purity. The heart-shaped brooch. At that point, drawing on the memory of her standing there, she had long blonde hair piled on her head. His own imagination seemed able to ply the image because the woman smiled, even though he'd only seen her in distress. She was speaking to him, a small laugh creasing the corner of her eyes. She wore no makeup, but her skin glowed a pale beauty that made her blue eyes dazzle. Tom described what he saw as he focused on each aspect of the woman. What he didn't say was in the tone of his voice, the dreamy tilt of his head with each new discovery.
"And this is the woman who disturbed you so?"
Catriona was right. Gone was a spectral horror in front of him. Gone was the fright of the explosion, and gone too was the sense of helplessness he'd felt only minutes before. It was as though part of him had formed a favourable opinion of the woman that relied on information beyond his grasp. The girl had finished her drink and was now curled up on the other side of the sofa, the cover up to her chin. Her voice was as sleepy as Tom was. He nodded at her observation of his changed mood. The shock of seeing her, I suppose. It's different now. I'm curious. But she's not real. Tom snuggled into the cushion at his head and held the woman's image in his mind. He knew they should move, get to where they could spread out. But still he melted into the sofa, the sanctuary of Catriona's company, and the inner warmth flowing from the strange, intoxicating woman. The woman that common sense told him didn't exist. There was something else. As he lay there trying to pin down his feelings, feelings that had swung between fear and longing, between concern for his sanity and concern for Catriona and the non-existent ghosts, a subtle change settled on him. It crept up while he was thinking of concrete things and took him by stealth. When he recognised the change, it was already well established and difficult to shake. That night, a lifetime ago, when Tom had stumbled on the cottage, he thought he'd done so by chance, but now he wasn't so sure. He still knew little of consequence about the place. He could not visualise what lay beyond the hill, had no idea what Lochranza might look like. What had changed was a recognition of something within himself. In some place, deep and inaccessible, a germ of familiarity struggled for growth. He couldn't put a face or an image to the feeling, but it was so intense that he could not shake it from his mind. He'd never seen Craigan Cottage before in his life, but that life was only a few days old. A small window opened in another existence, an old self, another Tom. And now he was certain. He'd been here before.
DreamWorks.com.